broadcasting on the web and locally on 90.1 Hope FM. This is your Election 15.
5am, I'm Tim Smith and this is the latest news. We start with breaking news that the Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg has held his seat in Sheffield Hallam with 22,215 votes, but the Lib Dem Business Secretary Vince Cable has lost Twickenham after 18 years as an MP. Boris Johnson has become the MP for Uxbridge and Ruislip South. The Conservatives have now reached 100 seats and the SNP have won all 35 seats with one loss so far, declared in Scotland. Former Scottish First Minister Alex Salmond is back as an MP after winning the Gordon seat. He will make a return to Westminster after taking the Aberdeenshire seat from the Liberal Democrats. He says the swing to the SNP is unprecedented.
It is an extraordinary statement of intent from the people of Scotland. The Scottish lion has roared this morning across the country.
Labour loses target seat at Southampton Itchen. Labour sources say that Ed Balls will lose his seat tonight. John Denham was standing down as Labour MP after a majority of just 192. UKIP has been forced into third place in Thurrock, one of its highest priority seats. Conservative candidate Jackie Doyle-Price was re-elected by a slender majority. The Labour candidate was a close second place. Jack Straw says Ed Miliband should consider his position as Labour leader following what he calls a depressing performance in the general election. The party has lost dozens of seats to the SNP, who are making huge gains in Scotland. Mr Straw has retired after serving as Labour MP for Blackburn for 36 years.
I hadn't expected, as it were, my last day as a Member of Parliament would be against this background. It is grim and it's particularly very, very serious situation. I mean, it's unbelievably bad situation in Scotland, which, frankly, nobody anticipated.
Research based on the British election study has suggested that Lib Dems could face a greater wipeout than previously expected in what has been described as a devastating night for the party. The number of Lib Dem MPs in Westminster could be reduced to single figures, with former Cabinet Minister Ed Davey losing his seat in Kingston and Surbiton, and an unconfirmed source suggesting Nick Clegg's position as leader of the party is also at risk. Mike Thornton in Eastleigh, Lynn Featherston in Hornsey and Wood Green, Paul Burster in Sutton and Cheen and Simon Hughes in Bermondsey and Old Southwark have also lost their seats for the party. Other former cabinet ministers, Vince Cable and Danny Alexander, also faced defeat. Ed Miliband has arrived at the Doncaster count. The Labour leader was bombarded with cameras and cheers from supporters. Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg arrived at the count in Sheffield Hallam. That's all for now. Join us at 5:30.
Thanks very much. That was Tim Smith there with the news. The time has just gone 3 minutes past five in the morning. I'm back. You're listening to Your Election 15 live on Hope FM. That's 90.1. Streaming live on internet as well, all across the UK. Much excitement has been going on whilst I've been away. We've seen Nick Clegg hold his seat. We've seen Vince Cable lose his, and we're waiting desperately for some local election news. And on the line now, I believe we have Emily in West Dorset.
Hello.
Hello, Emily. What news do you have for us?
I'm afraid it's not any concrete news as of yet. We haven't had our declaration here in West Dorset, but I can see the votes piling up, and it looks at the moment like it's going to be a pretty safe Conservative seat yet again. It looks like Lib Dems are coming a second, but it looks to me at the moment around half the votes that Conservatives have got here. So it hasn't been officially declared yet, and it could still change with more votes coming in, but at the moment it looks like it's the Conservative seat as we expected.
Hannah, let's not beat around the bush. It is 5:05 in the morning nearly. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty run down, but I've still got a bit of energy left in me, Dom. I'm not going to lie to you. We can do this.
I think we can. Thanks ever so much for that report, Emily. We'll get back to you later when we have some concrete news.
So now, in a special report from our General Revolution crew, it's time to look into ethnic diversity and how much our Bournemouth University students know about the figures involving the topic.
What percentage of Parliament is of ethnic minority? 20-30%.
Less than 10%.
Around 20.
7%. I'm going to go with the 7 again.
Probably about 5%, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt it's much. It's all rich kids playing. Who can speak loudest, isn't it?
If you keep coming to power, there'll be even less.
10%, maybe.
I reckon about 10.
I think it's quite high. I would say 30%. Am I right?
Whilst about 15% of the UK population is made up of ethnic minorities, only 4% make up the total number of UK MPs.
Wow.
Yeah, you girls talk about your glass ceiling. Our glass ceiling.
It's definitely a worry, isn't it? It's not a high percentage.
That is ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, that's all I can really say about that. I'm actually really shocked about that.
That's bad. That's not really very representative of the UK, is it?
And everyone comes from a different culture, and it's important to voice everyone's view.
There's a lot more people in this country of different races, of different beliefs or ethnicity that aren't getting represented that should be.
It depends because I don't think ethnic people are being, encouraged to go into politics.
I think at the same time, if it's a white person that's fit for the role, don't just put someone who's black or Asian in, because you want to be like, oh look, we'll put someone else in, put the person who's right for it, but at the same time be equal about it.
It's always been men in parliament and white majority in parliament as well, so maybe in years to come, and the ignorant bigots and stuff sort of get out of parliament, then obviously things will change.
I think that there should be so many more representation, should be so much more diverse, so that people can relate, because empathy is needed to be able to make decisions knowing how it will affect everybody.
We are now joined by our expert panel, Dan, Shelley and Paddy. Thanks again for joining us now at nearly 5:10 in the morning. How are you guys feeling?
I am definitely flagging. Definitely flagging.
Shelley, you saying that it's reached a point where coffee is no longer having an effect?
No, it's definitely not working. And I could drink coffee like it's my job. So and it has been tonight.
So far, has it been worth staying up for?
Always.
Yeah, it's good. It's
great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is really important. I don't want to use any of the kind of democracy in action kind of cliches. But this is...
Democracy in action.
It is democracy in action.
We'll get our cliche claxon out if you're not careful.
I know.
Sports cliches next.
Oh, there we go. We could do a whole thing on cliches if you like.
Okay, so a lot of the results, especially for Dorset, are being pushed back well into the early hours. So we still haven't had many concrete results here in Dorset. What can you tell us instead about the other constituencies? What's been significant that's happened tonight? Just to recap.
Well, gosh, well, the Libs have barely got a leg to stand on.
Oh, I like that. Hey, yes. Maybe 5 in the morning, but Paddy's still on 4.
They've had their cable cut.
How many more can we get? Can we get the cliche klaxon, please?
Yes.
There it is.
Perfect.
Have you ever been to a count? It's really fun. First off, they get bank tellers are one of the kind of reliable stand-ons because you know, they're really used to just to go through a big watch paper and going da 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 da. And then you get to this time of night and people just get a little bit bonkers. Nicola Blackwood, who I think has just come home for the second time in Oxford West Abingdon, she started to sing to the cameras about 7 o'clock in 2010. And then Westminster North, there's this woman who I'm sure rest of her life like has social skills, you know, and a sense of where she is. But 7 a.m. decided just to lean into the press and release all of kind of her inner, you know, paranoid person. So they were always out.
If there was a time to do it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, sleep deprivation always.
Well, at least it's a legitimate excuse. So, Shelley, what about for you? Has there been any surprises for you? What do you make of Vince Cable losing his seat?
That was a surprise to me. I didn't expect that. But yeah, no, Vince Cable was one of the surprises. In all honesty, Nick Clegg holding on was a bit of a surprise too, because of the kind of backlash that he and his party has faced. But yeah, We knew that the SNP was going to be a good victory, but it was a runaway. So we've had a lot of big surprises, but we still have so much more to go. We still have at least 300 some odd seats outstanding. And as you said, Dorset is one of the ones that we're still really waiting on. And that's postal ballots, from what we're hearing, is kind of slowing things down. So we'll be hanging on tight.
We were indeed. So, Dan, I may have been away for the last hour,
yes,
but I have been listening keenly, and everyone's been saying that Nick Clegg is going to resign in the morning. Now, can you explain his situation and why people may be pushing him to sign a bit of paper to say night-night, bye-bye?
If you would be a leader of a party who lost 47 seats, I think there's not much, there's not needs much explaining to do why you should leave or why you should... resign. The question is there someone else who can step in his place? He might stay a leader for give a few weeks until they find someone, or someone steps up to the plate and says, "Okay, it's going to be me." So I can't see Nick Clegg leading the Liberal Democrats, to be honest.
So it's inevitable. Clegg will be going in the morning.
I would question if it's going to be in the morning. If there's no one to replace him, I think he's going to stay on for a few days or weeks if he has to. But what I find interesting quite as well is I'm wondering who is going to be left of the Labour shadow cabinet by tomorrow morning. So already two...
Well, it's this morning.
Oh, this morning, I see.
We've got a few more hours and we're going to find out.
Shelley, is Ed Miliband's future as clear-cut, or is he also one that should be out the door?
I don't know. I think that one's a tough one because, you know, he had kind of rebounded a little bit in terms of his image. People started to kind of take a shine to him. But maybe not.
Too
maybe
late.
Not. It's a little bit too little too late.
I don't think he'll see lunchtime. And I was very surprised that the knife came out from Jack Straw. I thought that was a sort of surprisingly direct, I thought.
So we have some big news coming in, and that is of the Green Party. Natalie Bennett misses out on a seat.
It's
came in
not
third
easy being
in
green.
Holborn and St. Pancreas. Thank you very much for the update there. That's Jack Clark with our breaking news doing a sterling job.
For those of you who may have missed Paddy's comment, he said it's not easy being green.
No, by no stretch of imagination. That's a big, big result, is it not?
I think it was clear that she's not going to win.
She was a train wreck from day one.
Yeah, she wasn't really... Yeah, I think I preferred...
Only shambles.
Yeah. No, but third place is not bad. I haven't seen the numbers, what exactly it's not on yet.
I'm sure it will be coming up in the next news bulletin at half past.
It would be interesting to see how many votes she's got.
A bit more context on that situation would be brilliant. So, what else are you looking forward to later on this evening? Obviously, we still got the key marginal battles, such as the one in Dorset, North Pool. Which is a particular few that you still want to see come in? What's standing out? What are you hanging on to? What's keeping you up till 5:15 in the morning?
Well,
besides
you.
Coffee.
Besides coffee. Did you say it's me?
It is.
That's so cute. Thank you, Paddy. You're keeping me up as well.
No, I think Nigel Farage, but... It's been pushed back till 8 o'clock, apparently, so that's going to be another 2.5 hours. So I think that's an interesting one. And still Brighton and Bristol, maybe for two green seats, for two green candidates to get into Parliament. So it would be interesting to see what happens.
Shelley, anything else you're looking out for?
I just want to see it all. I can't wait to find out what's going to happen next, because I think this is a really interesting election to kind of watch, and we were expecting it to be an interesting one and quite a tight race. It's not been as tight as was initially expected, but it's still really interesting to kind of see what's going to happen.
Now I'm going to throw a curveball at you all. Paddy, I reckon you might have an answer for this. Throughout the show, we've been playing political songs. Okay, so we've had the likes of Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan. Is there a particular song that springs to mind to you as being potentially political? Anybody?
Hmm.
Jesus. Oh.
I tell you what, I have no doubt that I'm going to see you guys again before the end of the evening. So take that question away with you. Come back, and when you come back, I want to hear you with your best political song. Okay.
Well, what's on Dave's iPad right now when he goes to chillax?
Exactly. That's what we want to know. What is Miliband chillaxing to? We're going to answer that question for you right here. Well, thanks very much for joining us, guys. Go and do your homework, and we'll see you. Goodness knows when, but soon I do hope. Take care until then. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks.
So that was Shelley, Paddy and Dan on the show. Thanks again. It's Hope FM here, 90.1, your election 15. Bournemouth University's live coverage of the general elections. We've been going since 10 o'clock yesterday evening. We're going until 10 o'clock this morning. 5 hours left to go. We've brought back in Charlie from the Abyss. Hello, here you are. Our head of social media. We haven't seen you for quite a few hours. We're now buzzing. It's the 5:15 mark, but the online world is still abuzz with reactions from across the UK. Here's Charlie. Give us some updates.
So there's been a few tweets about people. If Tory come into power, then they want to leave country. Yeah, I know.
Well,
weird.
Quite,
we had some exotic big ones, claim. Like Somalia, interesting. France, Spain, a lot for Sweden, and actually a lot for Scotland as well. Asking if they could make Scotland independent and move there. So there's a lot of that been going on. Another tweet that's been going across Twitter is one from a quote from Alex Salmond, who said, "The Scottish lion has roared across the country this morning," which is kind of true. I mean, SNP are just storming through Labour's strongholds. Crazy. A video that we've seen is one from the Green candidate for Kingston, Claire Kehoe. I hopefully pronounced that right. And she's performing an Irish jig. So that's quite funny. While they're all waiting for the the votes to be counted, she's just there performing cheeky Irish jig, which is quite funny. Which kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you guys seen it, the Green Party Change the Tune video, where they had Cameron, Miliband, Farage, and I'm trying to think.
Bennett?
No. It was all the guys. I've completely forgotten all their names.
And it's that they time
were,
of their own.
Yeah, it literally is 5 o'clock. Can you tell? Yeah. So you had all the male leaders, and they were like a mock. It was like a mock video of them doing a boy band song.
Oh no, I haven't.
And it was called the Coalition
about.
Song.
Yes,
yeah. And they did that, and it was quite a funny Green Party song, and it just kind of reminded me of that. I guess Green Party just love the entertainment value. Unfortunately, not the seats tonight.
Ooh.
So Charlie, where have you been these last few hours?
Literally at my desk, refreshing Twitter, refreshing Facebook, hoping that some people will wake up and some new trends will happen. But there hasn't been anything too exciting.
Because soon people will be waking up and you will be
getting ready for work.
Yes, and then you'll be rushed off your feet. I can imagine.
It is, exactly.
About 7, 8 o'clock, your feed is going to be going AWOL.
Yeah, you know it.
In terms of politics, dare we go down that route? Has there been any sort of potential surprises for you? Anything that stands out at all in particular?
I think SNP have done better than I thought they would. I mean, I know everyone's been saying that they'll do all right, but I think they have done really well. And the Lib Dems, I know that they made a promise and they broke it, but I feel so sorry for poor old
Nicky. Everyone seems to be like that, yeah. I mean, Nick Clegg is just, he is quite likeable, so people do actually feel bad for him.
He did make a promise, but at the same time, he was against, he was outnumbered by Conservatives. There's, like, what could he do, really? He tried to fight the corner, but he couldn't.
It's a cutthroat world, is politics, and
that
now
is.
It seems his head is going to be hanging in the morning.
Yeah, and I wonder who else is. I've heard that Ed Miliband might be getting the chop, apparently, but I don't know how true that is. Don't quote me on that.
We'll have to wait and see. So if people want to get in touch with the show, what need they do, Charlie?
You can join, obviously, our Twitter page, which is yourelection15, hashtag YE15. And on that, we also have our Periscope account, which you can just find if you scroll down, and our Instagram, which is, again, yourelection15.
And explain again for us grandads out there what Periscope is.
Oh, yeah. So Periscope is live video, basically. Kind of like Vine, but it's live.
So you can see exactly what's going on as it happens.
As it happens, yeah.
Using cameras and video and pictures and stuff on our Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Isn't that clever?
Yeah, and the girl that's in charge of it, Bolly, she's actually been going around not just our online room, but all the TV rooms, and she'll probably come in here at some point, so yeah.
Well, we look forward to it. Thanks so much, Charlie. We'll see you again soon?
Yeah, probably in an hour.
Pretty soon.
Excellent.
Bye.
Well, now I can bring you some good news. We're going to go out to Jason Lewis from Mid Dorset and North Poole constituency. He's at Poole Lighthouse. Jason, how are you?
I'm very well, Dom. How are you guys doing in there? Sounds like it's all going well. We're back at the studio.
Not too bad, thanks, Jason. You know, 20 past five, strange things do happen to the mind at this hour. How are you?
Yeah, we're getting there. I'm saying, had a little lull about 3 o'clock, but I've had a Red Bull and some pasta, and I'm feeling like it's got the carbs in it now. It's a new day, isn't it? Yeah.
I like the positivity.
I'm not a no carbs before Marv's boy, me.
Oh, good lad.
Yeah, I'm feeling the vibe. It's coming. This vibe's coming soon.
Good. What updates can you bring me then, Jason?
Okay, on the left of me, where we've got the Mid Dorset and North Poole, it is still a full array of ballot papers being counted. Obviously, I don't know if you've had this covered already, but in this counting process, you have a verification process first, where the ballot papers are sorted into their relevant parties, and then after that, which is the stage we're at now, they're counted and then put into allotments of tens and hundreds, and then put into the end of the room, where I can see a long line of ballot papers. So from Mid Dorset, we've still got quite a wait, I think, and it's going to be a close one, as the polls were suggesting on that side. Here over right in front of me where I stand, we've got the Dorset pool seat, apologies, and as predicted in this side as well, it looks like it's going to be a stronghold for the Conservatives. I spoke to the Lib Dem candidate earlier in the morning, really, and he's admitted that it's going to be another hold for the Tories here, and that result's coming into us first. Originally I was told 4:15, then I was told 4:30, then 4:45, and we're here at 5:20 still with
still waiting.
No news, and they're still counting away. It looked like they were done, and they pulled out another ballot box out of nowhere, really, so that was quite devastating for us up here in the balcony. And right at the far end of the room, there is an array of glum national face journalists who are just look like they are sick of their day, but I'm here with a smile on my face, just loving the coverage here for Bournemouth University.
I'm represent, glad you're having fun, yeah. Jason. Yeah, that's really good. So you said you're joined
I'm
by lots
loving
of
it.
Good. Joined by lots of other journalists there. How are they all shaping up? Are they in as high a spirit as you?
Unfortunately not, I fear. We've got our colleagues from over at ITV Meridian. They are chatting away to themselves. BBC South Today's just walk underneath me. I think he's gone to get a beverage of some sort, probably non-alcoholic if he's going on air shortly. And the camera crews are the one I fear for the most. They do have some very sorry looks on their faces, but we're happy as a camp here. I've got Fern to the right of me. She's doing a live TV show. So as a team, we're perching out live back to you guys at the campus.
A well-oiled and grooved machine. Thanks ever so much, Jason. Great to speak to you. We'll catch up with you later, hopefully with some more updates.
Now, during the last 6 weeks, the Greens have been seen as the underdogs, but could now have considerable influence on coalition decision-making.
The Greens have traditionally been seen as a single-issue party, but as support has grown, they've had to pay attention to a wider range of policies.
We hear from Elizabeth McManus, the Green candidate for Bournemouth East and West, telling us her prediction for the outcome of the election.
I'm here in Bournemouth Littledown Centre with Elizabeth McManus, the Green Party MP candidate for Bournemouth West. I've been told you're the first candidate to ever represent this constituency. How do you feel about that?
I feel very proud. We've done an amazing job in Dorset. It's the first time that we've ever had a full slate of candidates across Dorset. Excuse me, for five candidates. And I'm very proud to be the first person and the first woman to represent Bournemouth West.
What do you expect to be the outcome of tonight's vote?
It's an interesting question. The exit polls say that the Tories are going to win it. But, you know, you'd never know until the last vote is counted. I have been trying my hardest to engage with the student population, because obviously there's a lot of them in Bournemouth West. And I hope that that's been effective, and I've had so much positive feedback from students and, you know, other people living in Bournemouth West, that I'm pretty sure we're going to get a good result, but I don't know what the actual result is going to be.
Do you think the rise of the Greens owes mainly to students, or is it...
There's definitely a part of it that's due to students and just young people in general. I think it's a very progressive party that wants to move forward and see change happen, and I think that has a lot of synergy with young people. You know, we always want to make things better. You can see the mistakes that have already been made and you want to fix them. And also, with young people and students, you're talking about your future, so you're perhaps more passionate about it and want to see change happen.
So what kind of changes would you like to see in particular in this constituency?
So many. I think a lot of the problems that Bournemouth West have are based around high rents. So we need to make sure that rents can be capped and that landlords have more restrictions on them so they can't extort tenants. We also need to make sure there's a living wage. The Green Party want £10 per hour by 2020. And then in particular in Bournemouth West, we need to make sure with current students that HMOs, houses of multiple occupancy, are regulated and they are ingrained within the community and not separate to the community. Another really key issue for students in Bournemouth West is we need to make sure that we keep that talent in our town, because at the moment the cost of living is so high and the jobs aren't there that everyone moves. Once they've got their degree in Bournemouth, they move to London. And we don't want that. We want them to stay here.
Do you believe your party has future in Bournemouth?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Some breaking news for you now. Former Lib Dem candidate Charles Kennedy loses his seat to the SNP in Ross Skye and Lochaber constituency by a majority of more than 5,000. Further breaking news, Ed Miliband holds his Doncaster North seat. So some good news for the Labour Party. We have some live guests with us now, Chris and Karen, who are here to talk to us about healthcare. Welcome.
So, Chris, you want to kick us off?
So I've come in to talk a little bit about healthcare and how it's used sort of as a weapon by Labour and how that sort of panned out for them in the most recent election. So in a YouGov poll not too long ago, probably a couple of weeks ago, it was given 31% and the highest vote as the biggest concern for the British public. Beating the economy, surprisingly, but yeah. And then obviously, so far, it looks like there's going to be a Conservative government, whether they're a majority or not. I just find it interesting that the British government claims that they're most interested in the NHS while not actually voting for the party that claims to preserve the NHS or is known as best for the NHS.
Okay. And Karen, yeah, what do you bring to the table?
I think the big question now is going to be whether the Conservatives do protect the ring fence, the NHS, and exactly what they do with, as you say, that public feeling about how important it is. And in our own poll of students here as well, it came out as a strong issue, which is interesting given that often you're not really engaging with it until you're older. But I think that's a reason perhaps for really having to think pretty long and hard about exactly what is where we're going to be in a few years' time with the shape of it. And it's a cliche, but I think only time is going to tell on that, because the Tories are going to have to seriously scrutinise what they do in the wake of public opinion.
Yeah, I think there's still only so far they can go. Obviously, yeah. They are making cuts. I don't know how many nurses and things they've cut, like too many for most people. But there's only so far they can go before people sort of open their eyes, I suppose, and don't let them go any further and hold them accountable for what is probably the greatest institution that our country has and maybe in the world. And I think people know that, and as soon as it becomes threatened really and they feel like it is properly threatened, I think people will start rebelling against it somehow.
Well, it's an interesting issue which may well keep policy in check, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much Conservative-led government or a Conservative government engages with public opinion, how much it listens to it. And it's going to be a very interesting one to watch, I think. I do think one thing that's quite interesting that we're watching at the moment is Ed Miliband making his speech as well, if we can just chat about that briefly. Already sounding, you know, like a man defeated, even though he's just held his own seat. Very, very grey around the gills and looking quite down and depressed. And I think the mood in Labour HQ tonight is very dejected.
I would say it's worse than they thought it would be, despite all the bad press that Ed's been getting, especially after the Russell Brand thing, which wasn't going to make a huge difference, but they probably would have been feeling like it might. It's pretty bad for them. I mean, I don't know what the exit polls were. They were like 316 to 238 or something ridiculous like that. And then the complete wipeout of Labour in Scotland. Where they... the leader of the Scottish Labour Party lost his seat in Scotland to an SNP, so it probably doesn't feel very nice.
Yeah, well, he's been apologising to the party faithful, hasn't he, for the wave of nationalism that seems to have consumed them, and is clearly, you know, a lot of apologies there tonight, which is not fighting talk.
A
wave of nationalism, despite the fact that they didn't vote for their independence.
Mm.
Well, thanks very much, guys. It's fast approaching 5:30. Great to talk to you both. I'm sure we'll hear more from both of you later on in the show. But it is nearly 5:30, so Tim Smith is back with the latest news updates for you here live on Hope FM 90.1 and Your Election 15 online.
Broadcasting on the web and locally on 90.1 Hope FM, this is Your Election 15.
It's 5:30, I'm Tim Smith, and this is the latest news. We start off this bulletin with breaking news. Former Lib Dem leader Charles Kennedy loses his seat of Rosskai and Lutterbur to the SNP by a majority of more than 5,000. Also, Ed Miliband holds Doncaster North for Labour. The Conservatives gain for Cranbourne and Redruth, and Labour wins Wirral West. Leader of the Greens, Natalie Bennett, has failed in her bid to become a Member of Parliament. Cabinet Minister Esther McVeigh has lost her seat in Wirral West. The Labour Party won with a 470 majority, including Holborn and St Pancras. She is the first Tory cabinet minister to lose their seat tonight, but Conservatives gain Gower from Labour. We are at the halfway mark now with 325 seats declared. Labour has 136, Conservatives 113, SNP 50, Lib Dems 6, UKIP 1 and others 19. The Lib Dems' Vince Cable, who's lost his seat after being an MP since 1997, has said his party has been hit by a very well-organised national campaign by the Conservatives. He adds it's been a terrible night for the Liberal Democrats, but promises the party will bounce back both nationally and locally.
We were hit by a very well-organised national campaign based on people's fear of a Labour government and the Scottish Nationalists, and we'll see in the days that follow what are the implications of that.
Nick Clegg has held his seat in Sheffield but has hinted at his resignation as party leader this morning. The Lib Dem leader says it's now painfully clear that this has been a cruel and punishing night for his party. He adds he will make remarks about the implications of this election when he returns to Westminster later this morning. An update now on the police car explosion in Leicestershire. The car is understood to have been parked outside a polling station to provide security. The Hinckley Fire Station watch manager says there is no indication of engine fault, meaning the fire is probably malicious. Labour's Caroline Flint has admitted that the results don't look good for her party, with Ed Miliband's leadership also under question. The party have lost dozens of seats at the general election, many to the Scottish National Party.
Well, there's more results to come in and we're hopeful of some more gains, but it has been a disappointing night, particularly obviously in Scotland, where a number of friends of mine who have been great MPs have lost their seats, and I'm very sad about that.
South Dorset Labour candidate Simon Bowkett has said that he was disappointed with the Labour results thus far, but not with the campaign locally or nationally. He's thanked his team for all their hard work over the past few months, but said that his only satisfaction was that the Tories hadn't won an overall majority. Bowkett added that he wouldn't be drawn on whether Ed Miliband should resign or not. That's all the news for now. Join us again at 6 a.m.
Okay, thank you for that, Tim. Now, Alex is here in the studio with us, back with our political expert. So, it's 5:30.
It's 5:30 and I'm feeling it. But no, still some exciting results coming through.
Yep,
I don't
know
what you covered because I've just missed your news bulletin. But yes, some big announcements. Yvette Cooper holds her Labour seat. The wife, of course, of Ed Balls. She's the Shadow Home Secretary. So a positive result for Labour there. Charles Kennedy from the Liberal Democrats, a stalwart of the Liberal Democrats, he's a former Labour of the Liberal Democrats, in fact, loses to Labour. Another Lib Dem figurehead to topple, and also Ed Miliband, the leader of the Labour Party, has held his seat in Doncaster North with a convincing margin as well. So that's the updates coming through on the wire. So far, we've had we're bordering on sort of two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of the way through. We've had, so far, there's 158 seats confirmed for Conservative Party, 168 seats confirmed for Labour, 6 to Liberal Democrats, 1 to UKIP, 53 to the SNP, which is a huge, huge turnout for the books, and 20 are registering as other currently. We're still waiting for a few more results coming in, but we're going to be with you right until the sun comes up, as it's doing now.
Wow. I know, it's looking outside and seeing that sun coming up. It doesn't even feel real. I can't believe it's
dawning
right
on
now.
A new political horizon, though, I'm sure. Uncertainty, though, it brings with it, because, I mean,
we don't
know what the political makeup of our country will look like, possibly until, I don't know, we're sat down for dinner tomorrow. Right. So it could be a very long run for us here in the studio. But you're doing a great job, so I'm sure you'll be fine.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Okay, so Alex, do you have any more predictions? I mean, cause you did make a prediction the last hour that you were here, but obviously as more seats are getting revealed, it does change, and, you know, because now with Miliband and his, you know,
well,
his,
I mean,
small victory for him.
I think more Lib Dem dominoes are going to topple, essentially, because we've seen Joe Swinson, we've seen Danny Alexander, we've seen Charles Kennedy recently, and Vince Cable as well. Vince Cable, I mean, huge loss. But on the whole, the Liberal Democrats, they don't even have a leg to stand on or an arm to reach out, or even any features left on their face. They have literally been obliterated in this race. So all things point away from the Liberal Democrats tonight. Nick Clegg, I'm sure, will be ruined the day he got into bed with David Cameron. But we'll see with the final results.
Yeah, I'm sure when you next come, there'll be much more for you to discuss with us. So thank you for coming with us, Alex. Okay, so we've got more guests now. Now, joining us with me, I have Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
You good? Tired? Are you holding up?
Well, I think the caffeine's just about done it.
It's hitting you. Okay, that's good. So now we are edging closer to the 6 a.m. mark, where these Dorset results are due to finally start coming through. Now, do you have any last-minute predictions at all for us? Nope. Okay. I mean, because obviously Ed Miliband has retained his seat, which is good, but Lib Dems, they're declining rapidly, so it's all... The next hour is very crucial, as always. So now, Sam, your specialism is religion.
Yes, especially with my constituency where I'm originally from, which is Finchley and Golders Green, where just under 40% of the population is Jewish.
Oh, okay. So that has affected your election then?
Yes, I would say so. Especially as me personally being Jewish as well, who is like the right candidate or current MP to vote, who would like basically do us really the best, really.
And so your religion is very important to you, because you want a candidate who, you know, represent you and help, you know, and not just forget about.
Yeah, it can be like that, really. I mean, it is basically that, as well as, though, of course, equally representing the other groups of people that live in my constituency. But it's also really, though, quite interesting that because I don't normally see this with other constituencies except my constituency. And the only time really when I normally see that when religion or race actually counts is in America, where Republicans, for instance, like need the Hispanic vote, or the Democrats that need the African-American vote. So I think it's actually quite interesting how I'm seeing that sort of thing here in my local area, really.
Yeah, so I didn't actually realize that myself. I mean, I didn't, like you say, it's more popular in America. I didn't realize there was a constituency here in England that, you know, religion played an important factor in, and that's really interesting that you brought it up and to our attention. Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Sam. It was lovely speaking to you. So now, I think Dom is out roaming again. He's abandoned me and he's jumped ship, and I think he's gone to the newsroom. Dom, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Now, where are you?
Excellent. I'm actually upstairs with the online team in the third floor of Weymouth House. It's very busy and bustling up here, so I thought I'd come and investigate and see what's going on. And it's amazing. When you've got a microphone in front of you, you'll always see a load of anxious faces just suddenly turn and face you, too scared to go on air and speak to any of us. But I think I can find someone who might be brave enough.
Let's see.
I know exactly who I'm going to go to. We spoke briefly with her earlier. Oh, the look on your face, Holly. How are you doing? Just explain who you are again for us.
Hi, I'm Holly. I'm the deputy online editor for tonight.
And how's it all going so far this evening?
It's going really well. We've just had a flurry of big names come in. We've got Ed Miliband's just gone. And then, of course, earlier today we had all the Lib Dem casualties of Vince Cable, Davey. It's not a good night for anyone. At the moment, except maybe the Tories.
And how are you feeling? It is now 20 to 6 in the morning. You've got the windows up here, so you can see what's going on in the outside world. The dawn is starting to break. How do you feel?
It feels really, really weird because, you know, when it got to about 2 o'clock, it still felt like about 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. The rush, the adrenaline was still going. But now, as the sun seems to come up, it's a whole new world. I mean, even though we have these windows, we haven't been in touch with anyone outside on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. So, yeah, still very much in that election bubble.
And we're still awaiting many of the key results in Dorset tonight. How do you see those going? Do you see them being a Conservative whitewash, or do you think that marginal seat of North Dorset will stay a Lib Dem?
I mean, I'd like to think that it'd stay marginal and it'll stay exciting, but I really do think Dorset will turn all blue tonight. Yeah, I don't think the Lib Dem will be able to cling on to that seat. As much as I admire Vicky Slade for all her local work, I just think Dorset will be blue.
Well, only time will tell. Thanks again, Holly, for being a part of the show, and best of luck with the rest of the evening.
Thanks very much.
All right, it's very busy up here. I'm going to see if I can find somebody else who I can pester. Let's see who doesn't look too busy. Everyone's getting very, very irate up here. I think we could be on the verge of something big breaking. Someone who's not too afraid of the microphone is our head of social media. I'm just about to hijack a television interview, aren't I? Is this going well?
Maybe in a minute, but you're all right for now, I think.
Charlie, how's it been going since the last time we saw you?
It's all right. I'm just sort of repeating what I said to you guys, but to the TV.
Who do you prefer, TV or radio?
Oh, I couldn't possibly answer.
It's definitely radio. It's definitely radio. Right, I think that's about all from me up here. I'm going to get my way back down to the studio and leave these very busy people to it. I'll see you in a bit.
See you in a bit, Dom. Thank you for that. Now, I'm joined back in the studio with Alex again.
Yes, I'm joining you because there is some very exciting news.
Breaking news, you heard it here first,
breaking
people.
Breaking news. David Cameron has held his seat in Witney with a majority of 35,201 votes, literally just come on our feed right now. It's looking brighter and brighter and brighter for the Conservatives as the night goes on. 167 seats now confirmed to them. Their target is to gain an extra 11 seats on what they did last year. They could even get a majority government. Yes, Duncan Enright came second in that race. He only got 10,000. That's a 25,000 majority. And unsurprisingly, huge majority there for Cameron. So the rest of the night could be blue themed by the looks of things.
It's looking that way, isn't it? Yeah. So that was our breaking news as it came through. So, okay. Throughout tonight, we have been quizzing the people of Bournemouth University. Whilst a lot of students had a solid understanding of the main parties, including Labour, Conservatives and the Lib Dems, we then quizzed the campus residents on the Green Party. Dom is back in the studio. He's joined us again.
I am. I'm out of breath. Those stairs are really starting to take out of me.
You need to be more in shape then, evidently.
Well, I think at quarter to six in the morning, I can be forgiven for being slightly past my best. It's incredibly busy upstairs, and as soon as a count is coming in, it doesn't matter where it is, they're manic, everyone trying to get the online report out there first. Because don't forget, we're competing with the big guns tonight. We're competing with the BBC, ITV, Sky to break to you the first and latest bulletin. One that's just come in is that David Cameron holds his seat in Witney. Now, to add a bit of context for you, I'm from Witney. Not sure how I feel. But David Cameron holds his seat in Witney. I'm sure he'll be very happy about that. And it looks like a good result for him. He's just about to do a speech now live on Sky. So I'm sure if you want to cut to that and see him live from my little hometown, you can do. I think he's at St Mary's Church, actually. It's a lovely... I was baptised there for those who would like to have a bit of context on the situation.
A little bit of history about Dom there. Love that.
Conservative in Christchurch has been held. Conservative seat in Christchurch held. I think I've deciphered that note correctly. Am I correct? We have a nod from Betty. Excellent. So that is the seat in Christchurch has been held by the Conservative MP. I will give you more on that when I know it, essentially. Matt is back. Hello, Matt.
Hello. It seems like a while since we've been sat next to each other.
Have you missed me?
Oh, more than you'd know.
I've missed you too.
That's nice.
I think I've got to that delirious stage of the morning now.
It's hard to tell you, really. Anyway, before we go on to you, I'm going to tell you what I've been doing.
You do that.
I have been out and about, continuing with your university theme. I've been going back downstairs having a look round. And one thing I'd like to say, which it has been mentioned tonight, but the sheer amount of work the people on radio, social media and downstairs on the TV are putting in behind the scenes. You're hearing our voice, but we have got teams and teams of people feeding us this information and helping us out. That's the same for TV. That's the same upstairs. They are doing an absolutely sterling job. And I think you both agree with me that they've been keeping this going, haven't they?
Oh, they certainly have. I don't think we could do it without them. So have you been flicking back to any of the TV coverage or just focusing on your election?
Well, it's been on. This sort of time, most of the TV coverage is pretty similar. It's all sort of basing around, you know, live reports from constituencies as results come in. But yes, I was down for the Your Election bits downstairs. I went to the studio in the foyer where it's seems a more light-hearted theme. There they seem to be it's more of a chat show theme, but it's a nice theme. And then I went over to the official desk, shall I say,
the main studio,
Studio One. And again, they're doing a fantastic job, and it's a really professional theme, but at the same time it's I've never seen such a professional theme with everyone smiling without trying to sound too corny for 5:45 in the morning.
That's a cliche klaxon job, please.
There we
I think
go. There we go.
There we go.
That's
your alarm
one.
Clock for this morning, guys. The cliche klaxon.
That is my first one of the night. I thought I could perhaps get through with that one, but
didn't quite manage it.
No, obviously not. But no, it is great to see, and I think we've all done so far, and I'm sure for the next 4 hours we've all done fantastically. But yeah, no, it's really good to see. I did also go back to ITV very briefly.
Oh, you did!
I did.
Brilliant.
I did have a
good
little
to
look.
Hear. Good
it
to
was.
Hear.
It's still just.
It's not quite cutting
it's
it
for not
you.
My cup of tea.
Okay.
It's not my cup of coffee, and which has been many. It's yeah. There seems to be on the Sky News theme a chap down the front who's not particularly happy with David Cameron.
Oh yes.
Yeah. There does seem to be some gesticulating on the Sky News coverage. I'm sure they will cut away from that camera shot at the at
the
most convenience.
Obviously fallen asleep and has not noticed. There we go.
There we go. There's
there
the cut now. Yep, that was interesting. That's going to be featuring on the blooper reel, I'm sure.
It was on there for quite a long
time.
That was a very long time, wasn't it? I think the cameraman was really in a blur there.
Producers are falling asleep, but I think that will definitely feature later on this morning in some of the bulletins. Of course, it's going to be approaching breakfast time. What do you think the world are going to be waking up to on television?
Well, I think what they're going to be waking up to right about now is the Conservatives have just tied level with Labour. They're both on 176 seats as we speak, but as predicted, it's going to be a blue surge this morning. There's 326 seats, I think, left. I think that's the number.
I've just read.
Yeah, it's neck and neck at the moment between Conservatives and Tories. What they're going to be waking up to, I think, on all the news channel, it'll be talk about where next for the Lib Dems. Obviously, Nick Clegg has held his seat, but there's been considerable absentees, and Labour as well. Same story for them. So it could be a lot changing in our political world coming up.
Well, thank you, Matt. Stay tuned on the television. We'll get more updates from you shortly. I gave you some very poorly delivered information earlier that Christchurch's seat has been held by the Conservative MP. With more information on that is our reporter live on the scene. Hello, John.
Hello. We just got the results. Christopher Chope of the Conservatives won with 28,800 votes. Second party came UKIP with 11,000 votes. Right after the victory of the Conservatives was announced, Christopher Chope gave his speech, and everyone is now moving out of the building. Conservatives still very pleased and confident with their victory.
Thanks so much for that, John. Is it bedtime for you now, buddy?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, excellent stuff out in the field for us, John. Thank you very much for bringing us that
result. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
So to clarify that is a Conservative holding the Christchurch seat there. And a big result for them, one that perhaps was predicted, but nonetheless, tonight is a night where you cannot go with the predictions. Everything and anything can happen. Okay, so up next we have our next live guest of the evening, and he's a familiar voice that we've been referring to all night. You're like a comfort blanket. Every time I feel like we're getting a little bit lost in the air, you come in and you save my bacon, David. You're here again. You're our next live guest, going to talk to us a bit about human rights and the election. It's not something that most of us would usually think about, but you're going to sway us otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. I am. I'm going to come out of my kind of the blanket that I'm in and give you some... I sound like Alan Partridge. It's clearly too early. Well, the reason human rights is important in this election is that one of the battlegrounds of the various manifestos was the Human Rights Act and whether or not we should keep the Human Rights Act or repeal it. And the Conservatives, and they've had a great evening, it looks like they're probably going to be the government in some way, have pledged to repeal the Human Rights Act if they can get that through Parliament. And so I just want to talk a little bit about what the possible effect of that would be. The Human Rights Act is a piece of legislation passed in 1998, and it's intended to make sure that the human rights the UK has to abide by, because it's a member of the European Convention on Human Rights, which is an international treaty, are enforceable in domestic law. The practical effect of this is, if you feel your human rights have been violated, instead of having to lodge a case in Strasbourg, you actually can go to your local court and start a case there. The Conservative objection to this has been that it gives too much power to judges over Parliament. They say that allowing judges to enforce human rights takes decisions that should actually be made by elected people who have an idea about kind of public morals and public opinion on these matters, and it takes that and puts into the hand of unelected judges. And they also argue that it eventually gives too much power to foreign judges, in inverted commas, in Strasbourg in the European Court of Human Rights. So it would be very interesting to see what they come up with as an alternative, because the Human Rights Act itself actually is designed specifically to maintain Parliament's power over the law. The way it works is in three ways. Firstly, if a judge is making a decision, what that judge has to do is, if relevant, take into account, which means consider, think about, relevant cases that come out of the European Convention on Human Rights. So an example of this might be, this is an old case from 2005, but a cohabiting couple, and they were a gay couple cohabiting together. And one of them died. And if that couple had been a straight couple, the surviving person would have inherited the lease of their property. But the relevant British law at the time didn't give that same right to gay couples. And it was because of the Human Rights Act, judges were able to first of all take into account what the right to a private life meant, and then apply it to the case at hand. And the Human Rights Act allowed them to interpret legislation so that it actually gave the surviving person their rights. So that's an example of how it works, and there's two things there. It's both judges making a decision based on human rights, but they only do so because Parliament's told them to. And the bit I haven't told you yet is, if they cannot find a consistent interpretation between the statute and the rights, they have to declare it incompatible, which essentially sends it back to Parliament so Parliament reconsiders and has the final say on what legislation ought to be. So it'd be interesting to see how that compromise, that quite clever piece of law, is altered by any new government if they try to implement that part of their manifesto. One of the proposals that's been put forward is to give us a British Bill of Rights. And, you know, you say the word British and you feel like Churchill. But interestingly, the suggestions about what that would entail and what it would include are very similar substantively to what the Human Rights Act currently requires. It's a strange suggestion because it's almost as if the Conservatives were using human rights as an electioneering tool, because they're saying, oh, we'll repeal this act, so less power to these foreign judges, and then pass a new act giving the exact same powers that our judges have under the Human Rights Act. And it's an interesting kind of technique trying to politicize human rights in a way that they're not really designed to do. And anybody who is listening this early in the morning, there's a great website called rightsinfo.org, which is run by a human rights law barrister. And it's a brilliant way to introduce yourself to how human rights issues work in the UK under the Human Rights Act and to think about what possible repeal would happen there.
That's it's a very interesting topic, actually, and one that I'd love to hear more about, especially the other parties' views on this, on the Conservatives' idea to repeal this. So perhaps we can come back to this case later, because we got some live breaking news for us now. We're going to go live to Stephanie, who's got some results for us. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. It's a bomb the first day just announced it now, and the winner bomb is Connor Burns Conservative with 1,025 cast before him, after him follows the UKIP candidate.
Okay, sorry, the line there, the connection is quite bad. Unfortunately, we lost Stephanie, but we'll be trying to get back to her later. In other news, Conservatives have overtaken Labour in terms of numbers of seats won for the first time tonight. The BBC has in fact tweeted that Conservatives could well be on a way to a majority with 325, they are predicting. So that's a big move this evening. You can see now actually on the screen, Conservative reaching 186, Labour on 183. That is quite exciting times, and it's really starting to hot up here, and certainly Conservatives going to a majority is something that we didn't expect to happen.
I don't think anyone expected that result, and it's an apparent one at the moment, but obviously it could all change. You never know.
You never know, and that is the problem here. We're still awaiting many results. I think it makes these key marginal seats even more exciting, like the one in Mid-Dorset in North Poole. These seats that are, could be held by the Lib Dems or could be won by the Conservatives are now becoming ever so more crucial if the Conservatives are to have a majority government. We're going to try and get... Are we trying to get Steph back on the line? No, we still haven't got any Steph back on the line, unfortunately. Fear not, you're only 3 minutes away from your next news bulletin. We're fast approaching 6 o'clock, so good morning if you're just tuning in. It is Your Election 15. We're going out live on Hope FM 90.1, and we're going till 10 o'clock this morning, bringing you all the latest updates and hopefully offering some form of clarification. I hear that we've Boris Johnson is going to be once again an MP. The Mayor of London is also now the Member of Parliament for Uxbridge and South Ruislip. And although the Conservatives are looking in an ever stronger position to win more seats, they still may not be able to win a majority, with a growing number of SNP MPs likely to hinder them in Westminster. And Boris has been speaking to Kay Burley of Sky News about a potentially complicated issue.
We've got to look at the reality of what has happened to Scottish politics and to politics in England. And we've got to think of a way of keeping the show on the road and making sure that we perpetuate our great United Kingdom. And I think that can be done. And I, by the way, I think that lots and lots of people who voted Scottish nationalist do not in their heart of hearts actually want to sever all links or to break up the UK in quite the dramatic way that you might think. I think that people will want to keep together many elements of that union. Whatever happens to be the crown, the passport, a sense of identity, common defence policy, all those things I think people will want to keep together. What we need to do now is to sit down together in no great rush and to work out what could be a new settlement, a new federal solution for this country. And I think it should also involve, by the way, more empowerment of cities like London and Manchester, giving local people more of a say over the taxes they raise and a say over their own destiny. I think that is the way forward.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, given what's happening as far as the Lib Dems are concerned, they've been completely destroyed this evening. Who are you going to do deals with, do you think, in order to get over that line?
What we're seeing, I think, is a Conservative Party, much to everybody's surprise, actually being miles ahead of the Labour Party in Parliament. And that is what counts. And I think that David Cameron has massive authority to govern now, to take the country forward, to proceed with all the measures that we want.
He doesn't.
I think he will do.
But
I think the government of the country must be carried on, and there is no alternative.
He has to have the support of the House to do that, and in order to have the support of the House, he needs to have not only the most seats and the popular vote as well, but he needs to be able to get the Queen's speech through, and in order to do that, he needs to be able...